Let's close our eyes and bow our heads, and we'll have a word of prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the new day, for life and health and strength. Thank you for the wee taste of sunshine we've gotten, and for the rain that we've had. I pray, Lord, please, that you would, if it would be your will, that you would, even just for an hour, around 12:30 to 1:30 or 2, that you would keep the rain off of us and help us to get up to the present point. I do thank you, Father, for the good weather we had yesterday morning. I know it was cold, but we soon warmed up, and for the freedom that we had, Lord, to be round Curriemere and putting a couple of leaflets in every single door in that housing estate, Lord. And those hundreds of people, Lord, each one of them got a chance to go to heaven. I pray you, please, not just for that outreach, Lord, but for every outreach, that you would speak to people in these last of the last days, and that you would reason with them, Lord, please, about just how close eternity can be. Thank you for Norman's visit to his sister and a safe return. And I pray, Lord, your good hand upon her as she recuperates from her surgery. Please be with Will and Norman, Link, Monica, and myself, Colin too, Pat and Steve, Lord, would love to be here. I pray your good hand upon him and continued recovery. So much, Lord, for friends and loved ones that don't know you or that really do need you. I pray, Lord, for your good hand upon them. We love you and thank you. We pray, Lord, that you be one of our number as we take this time in your word and sing in your praises. And we ask all this, Father, please, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to begin in number 13 this morning. In the wee books, number 13 in the wee books, is Guide Me, O Thy Great Jehovah. Amen. Let's make it joyful. And the Lord, I think Ling's getting, Ling and Will are getting all the sunshine. If you want sunshine, move over beside Ling. If you want heat, sit behind her or beside her, and you'll get the heater coming down over your shoulder too. Let's swap books, and we'll go to 448. 4:40. If we've met to worship and we're looking for the Lord's guidance, so we're 2 for 2 so far. Brethren, we have met to worship 448. And if they're able, we'll stand as we sing. Brethren, we have met to worship.
Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication. day of my trouble. I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any work like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast cast, whom thou hast made, shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and dost wondrous things, thou art God alone. Teach me the way, O Lord, I will cry in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, I will glorify thy name forever. For great is thy mercy toward me, thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious long-suffering, and tenderness, mercy, and truth. Turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and see the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token of good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast spoken me and comforted me. Amen.
Amen. Sam's all was good. We were reading there yesterday when I was we were down visiting with Pat and Steve. So they send their regards, by the way, and they're very glad to hear that they're still being thought of and prayed for. Their names still figure in the prayer list. So keep praying for Pat and Steve. If you would too, don't forget Frank. He still has nothing organized yet for this up-and-coming surgery, so please do pray for that. For obviously for surgeons and doctors and nurses and one thing and another. Norman was down visiting with his sister who had a procedure on her heart there just a few days ago, and she has an extended period of recovery in front of her. So he was doing the dutiful big brother thing and just helping her out around the house. What's her name?
Edith.
Pray for Edith, if you would. Appreciate your ongoing prayers for Steve and for his health, and Pat as she tends to him. Steve is getting better, but he is still very weak and he has a long way to go. He's able to get up and be walking about, and he's not being plagued with angina attacks since all the fluid was taken off of his body. He's able to rest much better at night. And just going to take some time before he is strong enough to be paddling about under his own recognizance. Is that what they say in the courts of law? You are released to your own recognizance. But please do pray for him. Appreciate your prayers for Monica's mother, Pat Hain. She is still not doing the best, and could be a long extended recovery for her too. She's in her 80s, isn't she? So we would appreciate your prayers for that, for her too. Thank you for all the prayers that have been lifted up, especially for the outreach. It goes on. We had a good morning in Curry Nairn. We were a bit doubtful about whether we would get it all done, but we marched up one side and got all the houses leafleted, and then we just decided to do all the rest of the houses on the way back to the car. So we did, and we got it all done. We're glad of that, so just pray that somebody pays attention to those leaflets. Still have the trailer to get sorted out and put up at the entryway to the Ardlock Road, so continue to pray about that. And there's, I'm sure each one of us, or does do each one of us, how we fix all for private prayer requests. Private prayer requests. Well, Norman. Lang, have you any private prayer requests? Okay. Mrs. Bradley. I was also speaking with Colin over Facebook Messenger. Just pray for Colin if you would. He is going to be deployed in a couple of weeks' time. If he might find himself just shipping back home, it could be all over in a couple of weeks' time. But please do pray for everything that's going on in that country. I am a firm believer that this is a made-up war caused by people that are in it for nothing but their own enrichment. Zelensky being the major culprit there, but Joe Biden and many other politicians are in it up to their necks. You can, I'm not going to fall out with you if you believe any differently, but the people that are paying for it is you and me. We're paying for it with our taxes over here. The public in Ukraine and Russia is paying for it with their lives, with the fighting. And as usual, politicians go mad with a little bit of power, set themselves up as kings, and it is ordinary people that pay for that. So please do pray for the ordinary people. The Bible says the common man received Jesus gladly. Pray for ordinary people. But we are also commanded to pray for our leaders. Whether we like them or not, we are commanded to pray for them. So please do pray for them. Is there anything else we need to make a note of? Anything else we need to be praying about? I have a little bit of work to do in my house. I'd appreciate your prayers for that. I have a foundation to tear up and then put down, and I've got all the bits and pieces for it. So strength of limb and safety as we do that. And I have a delivery of fuel coming in that's going to require some work, and so does Norman. So strength of limb again, and wisdom, and good gloves when we're using power tools. Gloves this time, Norman. And boots that won't let nails go through them. Yeah. Right, nothing else? Anybody think of anything else? All right. We'll have a word of prayer. Well, if you wouldn't mind leading us, brother, if that would be okay.
Dear Father, thank you for keeping us safe and well. The past week, Lord, we've been sitting with you at your house. This week, it is today, Lord. Thank you for the day, Lord. And may God bless you, and may we praise the great holy name, Lord, and the sacrifice in your love that you sent your Son down to cross for us, Lord. The many manifold blessings you give us day by day, and week by week, and year by year, Lord, you also give us, Lord. We also remember, as a brother, Lord, that you went to the church, be frank, you saw the Lord present to us, and to Lord, keep us safe and well, Lord. Because walk the lesson as well, Lord. We also remember call, Lord, may protect them, keep them safe and well, Lord. Keep them good spurs, and draw a closer walk for thee, Lord, and keep them safe from any hazards or any dangers, well, Lord. Save Stephen, Carl, and John, Lord, as well, Lord. And also, we tell them to stay wherever they are, keep them safe and well, Lord, and bless them, and keep them, draw a closer walk for thee as well, Lord. Go to Stephen, Pat, Lord. Help Stephen's family, Lord. Take away any pain, any cramps, any discomfort, Lord. Help only short recovery, Lord, and if possible, bring out the church as well, Lord, as long as it can be, Lord. And give us a respite and give us strength, Lord, for the keeper. And give Pat to keep us strength and keep it well, Lord. And Lord, also give Edith as well, Lord. You may give a steady hand and wisdom and sound judgment to the doctors, the nurses, and support the operating staff, Lord, for our condition, Lord, and bless your keeper, Lord. Lord, help her as well, Lord. I pray for John Bradfield, Lord, keep him safe and well in his years, Lord. And Lord, give him our best, Lord, and may he drop this rock, please, and we'll fight some as we go for all of us, Lord. May we start a new week, Lord, be with us and keep us, Lord. And Lord, may you drink our past closely and walk with thee, Lord. And be with us and keep us. Be with us, Lord, we get marks of motion from the place for Lord. Touch our hearts, Lord, and give us a lesson, Lord. And be with us and keep us. For Jesus Christ, amen.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, let's take these hymn books again and we'll see where we're at. We're going to take the wee ones this time. We're going to get a bit of practice in for Easter with number 7. Number 7, we plough the fields and scatter. We'll just sit for this. Pardon? What did I say, Easter? Yeah. I'm thinking of the one across the page. There's a green hill far away.
Oh my.
glory to his name. This is a hymn that came to mind as I was writing the notes for the message this morning. But that's a good old one. We'll stand as we sing. Glory to his name. Chapter 13, and want to bring a few thoughts your way on the subject of No Matter What, Part 2. No Matter What, Part 2. Job chapter 13, want to read about 28 or so verses of this portion of God's Word to bring you a few thoughts on the subject of No Matter What, Part 2. Part 1, which wasn't named Part 1, but was called No Matter What, a few services back, was taken from John chapter 10. And I hope and pray that you remember the promises that God made to each one of his children, in other words, each soul that has trusted in the Son, Christ Jesus, as Saviour, that no matter what happens to you in your life, Jesus will keep your salvation, your soul, safe and secure in the palm of his hand. And better than that, the next verse says that our Heavenly Father will do exactly the same thing. And then, as you read on through the New Testament, you discover that the Holy Spirit will save you until the day of redemption. So you're kept on the outside, but in the hand of the Father and the Son, and you're saved on the inside by the Holy Spirit, no matter what. That is what God does for each saved soul, for free, forever, and for sure. Next bit is, no matter what, part two, let's have a read. Lo, mine eye hath seen all this, and mine ear hath heard and understood it. What ye know, the same do I know also. I am not inferior unto you. This is Job speaking. Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But ye are forgers of lies. Ye are all physicians of no value. Oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom. Hear now my reasonings, and hearken to the pleadings of my lips. Will ye speak wickedly for God, and talk deceitfully for him? Will ye accept his person? Will ye contend for God? Is it good that he should search you out, or as one man mocketh another, do ye so mock him? He will surely reprove you if ye do secretly accept persons. Shall not his excellency make you afraid, and his dread fall upon you? Your remembrances are like unto ashes, your bodies to bodies of clay. Hold your peace, let me alone, that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth, and put my life in my hand? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. Hear diligently my speech, and my declaration with your ears. Behold, now I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. Who is he that will plead with me? For now, if I hold my tongue, I shall give up the ghost. Only do not two things unto me. Then will I not hide myself from thee. Withdraw thine hand far from me, and let me not thy dread, and let not thy dread make me afraid. Then call thou, and I will answer, or let me speak, and answer thou me. How many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and holdest me for thine enemy? Wilt thou break a leaf driven to and fro? And wilt thou pursue the dry stubble? For thou writest bitter things against me, and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth. Thou puttest my feet also in the stocks, and lookest narrowly unto all my paths. Thou settest a print upon the heels of my feet, and he is a rotten thing, consumeth as a garment that is moth-eaten. There are a handful of verses there that I would like to draw our attention to this morning, beginning at verse number 15 and right the way through until verse number 21. That is going to be our text, and we're going to be speaking for a little bit on the subject of no matter what. Amen. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads, have another wee word of prayer, and then we'll jump in again. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this little bit of time in your presence. Please, Lord, I pray, give us a portion of understanding, increase our wisdom and our strength and our assurance, Lord. And I pray, please, this day that, Lord, that you would fashion us and mold us and shape us into the people that you need for us to be. I just think especially on Edith, Steve, Pat Hain, think on Frank and his up-and-coming surgeries, for Colin over in Ukraine. For our family and friends who don't yet know you, Lord, I pray that you would convict them greatly of sin and judgment to come. And for those that do, that you would increase their faith. Father, we love you and thank you. I know you've done so much for us, Lord. And I pray we would never take it for granted. Lord, we leave these things at your feet and pray that you would grant them according to your will. And be one of our number, Lord, too. Amen. 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 Unfortunately, Job is not a very cheerful book. I think the first chapter or chapter and a half detail the utter destruction of one of the most powerful, one of the wealthiest men in the world of the day. And it wasn't down to anything that he did. We hear, I am sure, that the Lord gave Job in retrospect, we hear the conversation between the devil and God about why Job is so blessed. Job believes in you because you bless him, the devil says. Because you've given him so much, the devil says, that is what fires a Christian up and keeps him honest. Having stuff. We know that the Lord warns us against those things. And so the Lord says, put your hand upon everything that he owns. You can do whatever you like with it. And we see the awful results of this. We see even his children, who feasted every day in their houses, the brothers always looking after the sisters and inviting them for food, the house falls in on and kills them all. All 10 of his children, I think it was. And this is even with Job praying for them on their behalf, intercessory prayer, and asking God, God, if they've cursed you in their heart for whatever reason, Lord, please forgive them. And you can be sure God heard that prayer. No sooner does he hear one piece of bad news, but that he hears another. All his flocks get stolen in a series of raids by foreigners. They take everything. And he is left destitute. And he says something to the effect of, naked I come into the world and naked I go out. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. And then there's a little bit of a conversation goes on, and the devil says to the Lord, I guarantee you Job will curse you if you take away his health. He doesn't say it like that, but that's pretty much what it amounts to. Because you know the old saying that there is, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. And that's very true. If you don't have your health, you don't have anything. For a lost man. But when you don't have your health, God becomes very, very, very important to you. Even more so than he ever would have been whenever you are well. So we know what happens. Job gets smitten with boils. He is literally in agony. And he uses a potsherd, a bit of maybe a broken pot, to scrape him, to give himself some relief, such as the agony and the discomfort. Now, I have many times in the past, I have read this. I have read the Bible, we'll say, between a half a dozen and 10 times fully, and many times bits and pieces here and there. And a lot of times we read stuff in the Bible, and because nothing like that has ever happened to us, we do not appreciate the things that many of God's people went through. Anybody here ever have chicken pox? Did you ever have them in your mouth? And all the awkward under your arms and in your legs and just where you bend your arms and legs so that the best of peace or relief that you could have would have been to gargle warm salty water in your mouth and to be covered nearly head to toe in calamine lotion. And even that only lasted for a few hours. Of course, there was fever and whatnot. And the one thing you're always warned to do when you have chicken pox is what? Don't pull the scab off. That's why I have 3 scars across my forehead and I have 1 or 2 in my chest because I hate scabs. Don't pick at the scabs. Let them heal, otherwise you'll have a scar. So this is exactly what happened to Job, plagued with these. And the one thing the devil never laid his hand on was the one thing he could have well done with taking away his wife. She kept saying, curse God and die. I know what she was thinking of. I can go and marry another man. I can go and have other children. I can go and have another life. I can be set free from watching this slow motion destruction of everything that I love, including the man that I love. Let it be over. But we know for all of that that Job remained faithful. Job remained faithful. Even, and we're in verse 13, I think it was up to like 41 or 42. We're just about a third the way through Job's troubles. And, of course, if you mention Job, the next word is Job's comforters. And we have them. Basically, what they have said the whole way through is, it's because of something you did, Job. This is karma, although you don't mention karma. This is you living by the sword and dying by the sword. You must have gotten all your flocks the wrong way. You must have lusted after other women, even though you had your own wife and children. That's why God took away your children. That's why God took away your flocks. You have profited personally off of other people round about. You are fat and healthy because you're a thief. And so that's why your health has disappeared. God has done these things to you because you deserve it. I want to shoot that notion right in the head, just like Jesus did in the Old Testament. When the Lord was talking about to the disciples about who deserves hard times. And he was talking about a blind man. He said, do you suppose that this man or his parents did something bad and that's why he was born blind, although the man couldn't have? He says, do you suppose the Tower of Siloam, when it fell upon those 14 people and killed them, do you think they were the greatest of sinners? And Jesus says, no. Sometimes things happen. Solomon said, time and chance happen to all things. The point is that you need to be right with God in case one of these time and chance things happens to you. And you close your eyes in this world and open them in the next, and there you go, standing before God. Are you getting into heaven or are you not getting into heaven? That's a decision you need to make here and now. There's a few things I would like to make a mention of as we get to our verses. We see a little bit of back and forth. But one of the verses says, where is it? It was a cracker verse. It said basically about being quiet and letting that be your wisdom. Verse number 5, oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace, and it would be accounted to you for wisdom. And this just goes hand in hand with another great verse out of the scriptures. In Proverbs 17, it says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Or as somebody once said, it's better people think that you're a fool than you open your mouth and confirm their beliefs. God said to, don't you be presuming to know God's will in this situation. Don't you be speaking on behalf of God. Because there was also a dire warning in the Old Testament. If you claim to speak on behalf of God and you don't, bad things will happen to you. God does not take kindly to people telling lies on his behalf. That's why when guys stand up here behind the pulpit, should understand that they are quite literally taking their lives in their hands, and that there is a great burden to make sure that the things that are spoken from the pulpit are the truth and the whole truth, the full counsel of God's word. He goes on like that, and he speaks to these men, and then he cries out to God, again asking why. And we know, because we spoke on Job 41 and 42 not that very long ago, that there are things going on in this world that we can't understand, but that we need to keep our eyes on God. Now, the verses that we're particularly interested in this morning, verse number 15 is the primary one. This is what Job says. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. And that seems like a very strong sentiment, especially from a man that has lost so much, to say, even if God kills me, I'm still going to praise him. I'm still going to glorify him. Now, I need for you to know that Job was not talking about God coming down from heaven like he did with Abraham, or sent an angel down like he did with Balaam and his ass with a flaming fiery sword. And he was going to cleave Job in two, and the two halves would thank the Lord for doing that. I don't believe that's what it said means. What it means is, regardless of where I am in my life, I will praise the Lord. I will deport myself properly and respectfully. I will preach and I will study and I will praise and I will worship and I will glorify God. Whether I am the richest man in the world or whether I live under a bridge, because he has saved me. And liars, thieves, murderers and hypocrites, etc., said they don't even come into the picture. There's only two things that Job asked for. And this is what they are. This is what he said of God. Please, never take your hand far from me. Always be close to me. Or, let me put it another way, always let me be close to thee. And let not thy dread make me afraid. There's really only one sort of person that needs to be afraid of God. Jesus even said so. He said, don't be afraid of man that can only destroy the body, but be afraid of God that can destroy the body and soul in hell fire. And that is reserved for the enemies of God. In other words, Job is saying, never let me be found to be an enemy of God. Always let me be found truthful and honorable in the sight of God. And having God's presence close by me, knowing God's will in my life, and executing his will regardless of my circumstances. That's all that Job wants. That brings a whole new meaning to the phrase in the New Testament where Paul said, I have, well, with food and clothing, let me wherewith be content. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And Jesus said, with food and clothing, be content. Job wants to walk with God. In wealth or in poverty, in health or in sickness, it sounds almost like a wedding vow. As long as he knows he's doing the right thing, he has no reason to let the dread of God make him afraid. This might seem a little bit off the beaten track, but years and years ago, I used to hear stories about missionaries in America. Missionaries that would proudly state that they needed $10,000 a month, and you're going back maybe 15 or 20 years, before they would be able to go on the mission field. And I was thinking, where in the world are they going to the mission field needing 120 grand a year? Are they going to evangelize the gold bars in Fort Knox and they have to blend in? Are they going to evangelize Wall Street and they need to be best in the dress Gucci clothes as they hand out gilt-edged tracts? And somebody said, when this question was raised, how is it that some people need so much before they'll go on the mission field? And the simple answer is that they wouldn't go without it. They needed to be so insulated by wealth and finance because they weren't insulated by God. And that got me to thinking a little bit about just how far we would go without all of our trappings. Because we live, these days that we live in, they're wicked days, they are anti-Christian days, they are immoral days. They are days where people's minds are focused pretty much completely upon wealth and what they have in their pockets. Having to do without so much, just like Job did, would kill people. It would break them if they had to be content with food and rain, especially in the West, especially in wealthy countries. You think about people living in Ukraine that literally had to run out with whatever they could just grab with their hands whenever the Russian shells come in. You think about the men in the trenches when the bullets come both ways and the mortars are come flying in and the tanks are firing and the drones are coming in. And they are expected to be content with food and clothing, with shelter and maybe a bit of warm food in their belly or somewhere out of the gunfire. And yet it takes months to train a person to be able to deal with that. And for them not to go running screaming from the front like a mad person. I have heard many times too that the loss of so much can break people. And there are many instances out there in the popular press of men losing their families and their will to live just disappearing. I know of a man who lost his wife after many years of sickness and took his own life shortly afterwards because the whole reason for his life was gone. But here we have Job. Children are dead, killed in a collapsed house, all his belongings stolen away by thieves and murderers, and his wife seemingly has turned upon him. And even his health is gone. Every movement is pain and discomfort. Every day is just, I wonder what's going on. His wife telling him to curse God and die. How many of us would go on? How many of us have got God to hold on to so that when, not if, but when everything goes, we can be glad that we're saved? How many of us would be content to say, like Job, if God slay me, I will still worship and praise him? If my life was to be forfeit, if whatever happens to me in life shortens my life, would I still praise God? Would I still be a Christian, no matter what? Part two. It's easy to say when you're in church, I trust God. It's easy to feel good when we're singing the hymns. And I want to tell you something this morning. You nearly got treated to a 5-hymn intro to church because I was really enjoying the hymns. I was feeling, not, I don't mean this in a bad way, I was enjoying the singing this morning. Sometimes it's a chore, but I was enjoying it. It's easy to trust God when you're in church and surrounded by hymns and the eloquent preacher that's coming from the front of the church and the witty repartee and the friendly fellowship. It's easy to say you trust God. But whenever the rubber meets the road, you need to remember something. It's not the road that wears away, it's the rubber. And life will, it'll rub off your rough edges, friend. It might even rub off some of the smooth edges too, but life is going to give and take. And sometimes it takes more than it gives. And sometimes you're left with nothing as far as this world, the flesh, and the devil is concerned. What's left for you? What is left? For the lost soul, there's nothing. There's a memory of how it used to be. And sometimes even for the saved soul that has wandered far from God, that has ignored the constraint and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, there's nothing except the memory of what it used to be like to walk with God. There's nothing for the lost man except memories of good times, of drunkenness, of the forgetfulness of the conviction of sin, of thrills and spills and the power that you have and being able to spend your money and do things that normally other people can. It's great to be able to do those things. But when those start to disappear, what's left? All there is regret. And it takes a special person to pull themselves back up and to get going again. But when everything's gone, for the lost soul, there's nothing left. For a lost man that doesn't have a home in heaven, when his money's gone, what can he do? His power is gone. When his home is gone, what can he do? His comfort is gone. When his family is gone, what can he do? His fellowship, sometimes his reason for being, is gone. But for the Christian, I want to tell you something, friends, as the years go on, the things that are available to you shrink. As your strength fails, as your intellect dulls, as your finances dwindle, as your circle of friends gets tighter and tighter, what is there left? I'm going to tell you the same thing that is spoken at so many funerals and the same thing that the Lord said himself in John chapter 14. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's what Jesus said. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus said to his children, "I will never lose you. I will never forsake you. I will never cast you out." He said, "I will keep you in the palm of my hand, and no man can pluck you out forever." And you will find, as those things disappear from your lives, that the space and the time that is left becomes more and more filled with God. Maybe like Job, you'd be reasoning with God and saying, "Well, God, I don't know why I'm here, but I am here. I'm glad you're here with me. I am glad I can close my eyes and open them in heaven, in the holiest of holies, in your presence, in your throne room. I am glad that even now I can talk to you about everything. I can even ask you anything." Doesn't necessarily mean I'll get it, but I can ask you. "I am glad when I'm confined in my bed that I can walk the streets of gold, that I can visit with you. I am glad that when people come to visit me, the most important thing that I have to do now is tell them about how great you are." Being a Christian is easy when it's easy. It gets tricky when it's not. That sounds like a bit of nonsense there, but you know what I mean. But it's times like that that you'd be truly glad that your soul is saved. It's times like that you're comforted with the fact that you remember the verses that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's times like that when you understand that everything can disappear, but Jesus never will. He will never let you go. Your assurance and salvation, they are solely the preserve and rest in the hands of God Almighty. Not yours or mine, because we would probably lose them. Can I hope and pray for each one of us and for anybody that might happen to be listening to this? I pray for good health for you. I don't want anyone to have to go through what I went through. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I pray that you have enough money and eat to do you, to pay your bills and to eat and maybe even do something that you fancy on the side. Something sensible out of that. I would hope that you have no lack in your life. I really do. But I would like you to remember that whenever your life is too full of stuff, it's easy to lose sight of God. And even the wisest man in the world that we were speaking about on Wednesday evening, he lost sight of God whenever he was tempted to his 1,000 wives and concubines. Who was that? But Solomon. But if my prayer is not fulfilled for you, I pray that you realize God's position in your life and your position in God's eternity. If God is not at the center of your life, you might not be going to heaven for eternity with God. But I pray that if it is amen, that if it takes your life, if for whatever reason your health deteriorates, that you stick with the stuff. You stay with the Lord. That you appeal to Him. And that whether your health picks up or whether it hits rock bottom before it picks up, or maybe hits rock bottom and then you step off into an eternity with a brand spanking new body, that you praise the Lord and thank Him. That you find out what is really important in this life. And that is walking and talking with God. Basically doing what we were made to do. Walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening. Nobody likes to talk about these things. And it has very much been on my mind because of my own recent experience, because of Brother Steve's experience. Just how precious God becomes to those for whom everything else is feared. Jesus never loved, no matter what. We need to praise God and thank Him and talk to Him, reason with Him. Remember what, wasn't it Abraham reasoned with God and got God beat down from 100 righteous people to 10 to spare all the lives? God is not. He's not a robot and he's not hateful, he's loving. I'm forgiving. You don't know Christ as your Savior. The best time to learn what He is like is to see someone that does know Christ as their Savior in their hardest of times. Do they curse Him? Do they hate Him? Or are they glad for that little bit of refuge when things are getting? And then ask yourself, how could I have that? How could I have that peace, that assurance, and that purpose, even when I'm tubed up to the two eyes, I'm getting painkillers, antibiotics, feed, oxygen, and who knows what else pumped into me every single day? How can they still be content? With man, it's impossible. Because anything a man can put his hand to or pass on in his hand doesn't mean anything whenever everything's gone, whenever your health's gone. But you can pass on the Word of God. You can pass on the message of salvation. You can take a person by the hand, spiritually speaking, and lead them to the foot of the cross and show them that great Savior that enables you to persevere when everything else fails. I pray, if and when the time comes your way, that you are able to praise the Lord and thank Him no matter what is going on in your life. Even to praise Him and thank Him and cry to Him for help. But stick with Him no matter what. Amen. We'll start there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. I think we're in the big hymn books. If you want to take a turn there. I have a couple picked. Yep, 121. 121 in the big books. That's Like a River Glorious. 121. We'll stand as we sing. Thank you. Lord's home. Look forward to seeing you again at the next appointed time. God bless you. Well, would you dismiss us with a wee word of prayer, brother, if you will?
Dear Father, thank you for the preparing of the church today, Lord. May it continue as such, Lord. Thank you for everything you've given us. For Jesus, you sent Jesus into our lives for us, Lord, and to save us from us. And the manifold blessing you've given us, our health and wealth and strength, Lord, unnecessary wealth, Lord, but definitely our health, Lord. And every good thing that comes from you, Lord. And Lord, remember Job, and maybe be more like him, Lord, and but more important, maybe more like yourself each and every day, Lord. Yes. Maybe we call Christians and Christians indeed, Lord. Use this, remember yesterday, Lord, and use the track much of the doors, Lord, especially in Kurnia and Toya, Lord. We use the mighty and powerfully, Lord, and use it by the power of Spirit to convict those that are lost, Lord, to bring people back to the Lord, those are back to the Lord, and save souls mighty and powerfully, Lord. And save souls and bring them to church, Lord, and bring them. But save their souls mightily and powerfully, and they raise a great money, and also us as well, Lord. Bless us to depart your home safety, and may we be blessed today, Lord. May we bring our hearts more in tune with the Lord. Give us the gifts as we depart. Rely on for good. Bless again.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Take hands and fellowship for a little God.